How's everyone out there in Sutton? I can hear you. I was out to Sutton today. You know, the Chickaloon tribe, along with South Central, is going to be building a unique Native health center right in downtown Sutton. So that's news. And our normal second Saturday introduction, which Selena Ortega from the Palmer Museum of History and Art gives us, isn't going to be here. Death in the family, so our condolences. There are some things going on this weekend, which luckily we have with us this evening, Josh Freifogel, who publishes Make a Scene and Must Know All the Things That Are Happening. Of course, it's not available for the weekend, but there is the International Baccalaureate Art Show at high school here in Palmer. I saw that today. It's worth a visit. It's not as interesting as last year. There won't be any contentious stuff going on, but that's how that goes. We also have with us this evening, here, I'll let her say her own name. Introduce yourselves.
Shayna Lopez.
Ms. Lopez, we have Joshua Freifogel.
How's it going, Shayna?
There you go. And Emily can tell us who Emily is.
I'm Emily. Emily Berry.
And Emily Berry is a local singer. Joshua Freifogel, as I mentioned earlier, is the publisher of Make a Scene. We're going to have some interesting talk about the art of publishing, editing art, and all that good stuff that he has no idea what I have on my mind to ask him about.
Are you going
to
hold me accountable for my shortcomings?
I've always done that.
And that's why I've always liked you, Greg.
Yeah, there you go. And we're going to have some wonderful poetry as well. So I'm going to start the show off since we're not talking much about what's going on. Oh, Mariano Gonzalez has a show at the museum in Anchorage, which is worth a visit to see. Mariano is the professor of art at UAA, and this is an interesting piece of art that actually has 15 pieces there that should be seen. So anyways, while I think about things, since I'm obviously unrehearsed for this and Selena's not here, so we're off on our usual Mike's even smiling at us. So I'm going to have Emily start us off with the song, and then we'll get into Josh. We're going to do things a little different this evening. We're going to have we're going to deal with things as a panel instead of individuals, if you don't mind. So go for it.
I don't mind a panel for the music as well.
Yeah, you're the panel for the music.
This is an original called So Long Now. So long now. Well, I don't even think about you. So long now, it's true. And Mama, what the hell am I gonna do? Yeah, Mama, what'll I do? And she said, take each day as it will come. As life might make you numb. Take the good, leave the bad. Try and have a little fun. Don't bar trouble when there's none. Leave the light on in the dark. Leave the light on in the dark. Dear diary, I think I might finally be cured. Yeah, diary, I think I'm cured. Don't need you. All those writings 'cause all of those years I don't need you to clear. 'Cause I take each day as it will come, 'cause life has made me numb. I take the good and leave the bad. I try and have a little fun, dump our trouble when there's none. Leave the light on in the dark. Leave the light on in the dark. So long now. Well, I don't even think about you.
Oh, come on, Josh.
That's the...
Put down your phone and give a hand. There you go. Wonderful. Well, bring thank you, back. Emily. That was very nice. What inspired that tune?
I kind of have been a baby all my life about a lot of trouble that I've, like, had in my life. And that's me saying that I don't really focus on it anymore. And so long now.
Well, that's a good message. That's a good message to send to everyone. Yeah, lovely. How did you... Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. We all want to know.
I've lived in Alaska about 8 years in May, in Soldotna for about 3 and the Valley for about 5. Was in New York State before that, where my son was born. Grew up in England. And my father's a musician, so I always wanted to follow in his footsteps, but he is much better than me, especially on the guitar. So, I just always was drawn to music. I used to play the flute. And me and my dad, when we lived in England, we used to do, like, the Irish tunes together and stuff. So it was a lot of fun.
Do you play any tall with that flute?
Any what?
Jethro Tull.
I probably did. I played like a lot of stuff back in the day, and I haven't picked it up in years.
Yeah, a little Aqualung for us.
A little cross-eyed Mary would be nice.
Or what's that? Too young to die, too old to rock and roll.
Too old to rock and roll, too young to die.
Yeah, that's a theme song of mine.
Yeah. Mine as well.
There you go. Josh, you want to move that microphone a little closer to your face, and we'll start on our thing. First, again, I'll mention that it is second Saturday here in the Valley. Lots of music this weekend. Are you playing anywhere other than my birthday party?
Just for your birthday party.
No, okay. Our birthday party, I should say.
Yes.
Yes.
Just okay. We share a birthday.
Okay. Well, that'll be a lot of fun. It usually is. But yes, music should be on every corner. As I said, Selena's not here to tell us about it. I know probably if you gave a call over to the museum tomorrow, you could get a whole rundown. I know we have Jim Lasseter, who was on the show here a couple of weeks ago, is playing over at Garden Gate, and that's all I know for sure. But Kendra White put together quite a collection of folks that'll be here. So, Josh,
yes,
art. You have the amazing ability to have an opinion on any subject. It's usually the wrong opinion. I have to
usually,
yeah, but.
But it gets the conversation going.
It does. And until we bodily throw you out the door. The art and make a scene have had a symbiotic relationship, at least sure. As far as I'm concerned. I think I would agree. Now published some 50 articles in your paper over the years. And what, we're going on 7 years now?
We're about to enter the 9th year. Next
wow.
May will be 8 years in print.
Wow, I've been doing it that long. It's probably 60 articles.
I haven't gotten an article from you for a while now.
Well, no, it's, I was doing other things here last year, which I think I'm excused.
They were valid.
And now I'm actually occupied by somebody who pays for content.
The man.
Yeah, well, you know, that would be, I think that is actually an interesting subject. I mean, it's you have advertisers who write their own content for your piece or just content out of the middle of nowhere. Luckily, some of it's pretty wonderful, which is why we have our other guest who will be reading us some poems soon. Which without Make a Scene, that probably you wouldn't have a voice at all. And that's a shame, and that's part of one of the things about art. Unless you have a patron or a sponsor, it's very difficult to get your work. What are you pointing at?
I just see a spring spider.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Don't kill it. We're all vegetarians here.
Well, it's a maybe. Problem.
What?
Is it bothering you? It's way over there by Greg.
I knew about it.
I see. Well, this wasn't supposed to be a discussion of spiders. But
I do have an opinion about the spider.
Yeah. What is your opinion?
I like him.
Okay. Oh, and it's genderized already.
Well, he's a spider. You know,
he is.
He's all geometrical.
There was back when I was a child, a wonderful tune called Boris the Spider that was done by The Who. John Entwistle sang it because he had a voice that lies like a spider. I don't know why that came up. Why did that come up, Mike? You're the only one here other than me who's old enough to even know what I'm talking about. Oh, well. So,
I like The Who.
Well, there you go.
I don't know that song. You're right.
Yeah, that's their first. It's on the Happy Jack album, in case you wanted to know. So back to publishing things about art.
Okay.
What was your inspiration for Make a Scene?
Well, you know, it started off because I was promoting music as a musician myself, playing a lot of music back then. And I had this idea in my head that the corporations that were in charge of music, all they really did was promote the musicians through money they loaned to the musicians at interest. And I thought, well, wow, that's quite a racket. What if the musicians just promoted themselves? You know, so rather than... And a lot of my inspiration and my understanding for that came from the grunge movement in Seattle, because I came to understand... I was a fan of that music prior to it becoming popular and mainstream, you might say. And then... After it hit, I realized that nothing changed about that music scene except that it outgrew the corporate record company's ability to ignore it. So at the point they couldn't ignore it anymore, they bought it, and which was kind of a shame, but at the same time, it's the only reason we're talking about it. So I saw that as kind of an inspiration, that these guys in Seattle got together, played music that no one else was listening to, that was very unique to their area, that was appealing to a very unique group of people. So it was a true reflection of that community's music. And they just kept plugging away because there was no place for them in the corporate structure at all. There was no radio dial that would play Soundgarden or Alice in Chains or some Mudhoney or whoever the band was from that scene. So I saw all of these things happen, and then I saw how it evolved after they couldn't be ignored anymore, and I thought that could be done anywhere, that you could just make a scene anywhere. You don't necessarily have to wait for it to be disseminated from above or be validated from an outside entity, and especially when it comes to music or art. So that was my initial urge, and I started with open mics where I would have people compete to see how many people they could get to show up on their behalf. Rather than a talent show, it was about activating them when they weren't at the show to create an audience, and that worked really well. And then I realized that I really needed to market the idea. Well, that's where publishing came in, because I love writing and reading. So I thought, you know, at a certain point, why couldn't I just print a paper about music, about the scene? And then that's when art introduced itself. So art other than music started flocking to the paper because print medium is actually a better medium to promote visual art than it is music.
I think I was in your second issue, so.
I think so. You and Carmen Summerfield, I believe, were the... I think you were in the third. She was in the second. She's... You and her have been around the longest.
Longest time. There you go. I am the art scene here.
Carmen would differ.
Yes, she would. But, well... And she has.
Yes, she has. Yeah, I like that differing.
Yeah. So they, well, you just like contention. I know. That's you know, give them a cattle prod and get us moving. So, so make a scene. Now, I just have to throw in, you know, when 20 years before the grunge scene in Seattle was my scene, you know, with Sid Vicious walking down the street or going to the methadone clinic or, yeah, literally, I could watch him, and Nancy was her name, wasn't it? His girlfriend? I think so. Mm-hmm. The one, and anyways, watch them come out of CBGB's and about 8 o'clock in the morning and walk across the street to the methadone clinic from my window. It was an interesting sight. And so my point is, all that is that the grunge scene in Seattle was different than the punk scene in New York, but I think that's because of the strength of the clubs. But as far as a corporate, you know, sellout point, you know, until Kurt Cobain, it's, you know, yep, things stayed kind of the way they were. So I'm just saying it's what you see as a young man. And I see as an old man as a cyclical issue, right, of the corporate takeover. And where you call it a buyout, I call it a sellout.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different, yeah.
Same thing.
Same thing happens, but yeah. I guess yours.
Who's
puts
the protagonist? Who's the antagonist?
Exactly. That's yours, right, puts the onus on the corporation, and I put the onus on the individual. Interesting.
And truthfully, I mean, if you look at the Seattle scene, the other musicians that were at the top of that scene when it was most active were not necessarily... Nirvana was not one of those bands. They were a second-tier band. So really what you had was you did have a lot of loyalty to the scene at the top of the scene itself, and the record company came in and picked up what was basically a subpar act. You know, as far as skill, musicianship, and whatnot.
Well, and the same thing happened with the Sex Pistols. I mean, it's certainly, yeah. Well, actually, the Sex Pistols weren't so bad, but Sid Vicious was pretty horrible. I used to go, why do they have him with the band? But those things happen. You know, this ain't no CBGBs, no Mud Club. And it's interesting that a similar experience, but a change of time. So, okay, so now we have Make a Scene, and we have people like Carmen Summerfield. I won't mention myself, even though my articles are always much better than Carmen's. Well, I'm sorry, I'm a better writer.
I just enjoy your words.
Oh, well, there you go. It's... Well, and there's a difference to, you know, I was, for Make a Scene, I was actually a content provider. I was not, very seldomly did I ever say anything about myself. I was making critique of art around the valley. And that's probably where I differed with Carmen, because Carmen doesn't believe that you should critique,
right,
anyone else, because it's all good, and you know, that's okay. You know, it's
a philosophy.
It is. And I love Carmen dearly. I think she does a great job. So don't get me wrong. That's which Carmen has numerous times. So
she is very empathetic. I've noticed she's very empathetic to the feelings of artists, and she herself feels a lot.
Well, she does some pretty nifty art herself, which a lot of people don't know about.
Very unique.
It's very Dutch.
She is very Dutch.
Yeah, very Dutch. So now we've got art in Make a Scene, which you said we flock to you. Well, and that's probably true, especially people that were writing poetry and such. I've even written some poetry that you've published.
Well, I say flock. That is a relative term because, truthfully, over the years, I've been pretty disappointed in the response I've gotten from musicians. So I always felt like when the artists came calling because they saw it as an opportunity, the musicians sat around and waited for someone to validate them. And that's a condition. I'm saying that as a musician, so I can, you know, I can say that. But musicians, not Emily, of course, but she's been an exception to the rule, and I've related that to her multiple times is, you know, it's all about your attitude. What do you expect from your expression and creativity? And so many musicians are in bars at 4 a.m. wondering why they're not famous yet. And, you know, it's a real disappointment to, not all of them, but it's a real disappointment to see that over and over, even now. As soon as they get any traction, the first thing they do is rid themselves of the community that they built themselves in and go elsewhere. Well, you don't see that with other mediums as much.
Well, of course, in relation with Make a Scene, the paper, expressing yourself in writing as a musician is extraordinarily difficult. You're mixing two halves of your brain or whatever into mushmash. I won't say that. I was going to say we're lucky that there are musicians who can read, but but the especially the ones that are in the bar at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
But that can be said for any artist that if you don't do self-promotion, no one else is going to promote you.
It's the truth.
But to ask a musician to promote themselves in a paper like yours, and that's again an issue where folks like myself or Carmen become very important, even to the visual artist who doesn't know how to express themselves or market themselves, where we'll compose something about a happening or an artist and present it for them because they really can't do it themselves.
What I was doing for musicians is I was writing about them. Mm-hmm. I was reviewing their CDs. I was doing that. And I would try to communicate this idea, why don't you write about another musician? And then they will pay it forward and write about you or someone else. And that was really the concept behind it, just like what you would do, where you would write about other musicians, both the negatives and the positives, and oftentimes in the same article. And I've really presented that to a lot of musicians. And I just think that it's, you know, there is, because of the corporate involvement and the salability of music, the fact that I can get in my car and push a button and bam, instantly, any type of music I want to hear. That type of accessibility and ease associated with any art it creates a unrealistic viewpoint because it's redefined success. Success for a musician isn't being heard anymore. Success for a musician is fame and fortune. And that's the idea that's pushed over and over and over again.
Do you think that differs from time immemorial?
I think it's greater than it's ever been because of the commercialization of music.
It's interesting.
Just because the mediums, this radio station, not this one, this is awesome, but commercial radio stations, they buy the right to play any music on any roster from anywhere, and then they pay a flat fee that gets divided out according to the performance rights organizations. It's just a very corrupt system, and it marginalizes everyone that's not at the top. It's a very capitalist way of conducting art.
Well, I tend to agree with that, though. You know, having been involved with BMI and ASCAP for years as a radio personage, if it weren't for them, artists wouldn't get a penny. It's like Pandora. YouTube. You download whatever you want. You listen to it. The artist doesn't get anything. Maybe fame, but no fortune.
Yep.
And so it's a. But we have that kind of competition in all things. I mean, it's not just the music business, it's in the art business. So what was I reading the other day that most museum shows in New York are supported by 5 galleries only, which represent those artists, and that's it. If you want a museum show in New York or a gallery show and you're not represented by one of those 5 galleries, tough luck. That's a pretty sharp point at the top of the art pinnacle. So, and I suspect music, and we know that certainly in the written world, we also have the same problem with money and issues. Only a few authors are well supported, and most of those write things that can become screenplays so the television people can pick it up. Very interesting. So what future do you see to Make a Scene? Are you going to start paying for content?
Well, as soon as I pay for it, then I really undermine the whole premise of why I do it. And I think paid content is content that has more than one opinion involved, but only one name on it. And just by the simple act of direction, if you're paying for something, you have ownership of it. I don't want to own people's thoughts. For me, it's a philosophical thing. It's not a business model. It's something that I'm doing because I believe in self-expression. I believe that is everything. Everything around us is an expression of someone's self.
Sure, but you still have a requirement for advertisements, for instance. They pay for this.
And that's how I support it. And that's how the voice... and what I do is I tell people, you know, I'm not going to tell you what to write. I'm not going to tell you how to write it. If you want some advice, you can ask me, and I can give you the best advice I have to give. But I do not want to tell you what to write. As long as it's not vulgar, I print it.
Well, that certainly has been the case in my situation.
Right.
Even the things that were kind of vulgar, you printed.
Well, it depends on your definition of vulgar.
Vulgar, I guess. Well,
I'm thinking more Carlin's words, you know.
Okay. Little George there for us all. Super. Well, I think we're coming up. What have we got until the... station break? 20 seconds. Well, I'm going to waste those 20 seconds. I'm going to throw them out. No dead air. I'm just going to talk until Mike points his finger at me. And then we're going to move on to poetry for a bit. Okay, a little dead air. Come on, Mike. It was 25 seconds.
You are listening to KVRF, Radio Free Palmer. We are listener and member supported. You can make a difference. Join today at radiofreepalmer.org.
Okay. Well, just before we go to poetry, I'm going to ask Emily to do another tune for us. I was so pleased with the last one.
Okay. I think I'll do one that's not an original. I was asked to learn a Brandi Carlile song, so I learned The Story.
And background on that song?
I don't know her personal background on it. But the lines on the face sure hit home with me, so it's lyrics to the song. It was just one that people specifically thought that would work with my voice. So.
Well, all of these lines across my face tell you the story of who I am. So many stories of where I've been and how I got to where I am. But these stories don't mean anything if you've got no one to tell them to. It's true, I was made for you. I climbed across the mountain top, swam all across the ocean blue, crossed all the lines, broke all the rules. Baby, I broke them all for you. Because even when I was flat broke, you made me feel like a million bucks. It's true, I was made for you. You see the smile that's on my mouth, it's holding the words that don't come out. And all of my friends that think I'm blessed, they don't know my head's a mess. No, they don't know who I really am, and they don't know what I've been through. It's true, I was made for you. Well, it's true, I was made for you.
Wonderful again. Thank you. Yep, you can move that mic over. We have a shortage of microphones. Apparently, we have a shortage of headphones, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Would you like a set of headphones? Do you want to hear
sure.
yourself?
Yeah, that might help.
Oh, good. That's, it's always more fun that way. Well, that was lovely, Emily. And now you play with a couple other people occasionally, who we've had the privilege of having one of them on the air. It's and you call that the Acoustic Project?
Yes.
Okay.
So far it's been Kyle Johnson, who was here, mm-hmm. and Shane LeBoux came, and me. We've played different places throughout the valley.
And... okay, well, I guess that's enough of that for the moment. Let's get on to some poetry. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I haven't actually really accomplished much with my life, but I do want to say that I'm extremely grateful for every time you guys publish me and make a scene. I'm not published anywhere else, and I remember when you started, I was one of your students. And just getting published in there whenever I see something, it's really, really comforting, and I can't go any more into that than just seeing a poem published. It's very comforting. Thank you. And your song was beautiful. Like I told you, I've never actually read any of my poetry before, mm-hmm. but the first poem I ever had published in Megasane was called Sunset Color, and it's one of my favorite poems, and it's a really big deal for me to try and read it.
Well, you know, we only have fun here, so there's I mean, despite the fact that Josh will tell you I'm a horrible critic of what anyone does, it's not true. I'm very accepting. And we're all here smiling and anxious, and we're going to give you all the support we can because we want to encourage poetry. It's very important to me personally. And don't say anything about my poems, Josh.
I like your poems.
Thank you, and we're honored to have you here, so
thank
go
you.
Ahead.
I'm definitely rethinking the caffeine in my system. Okay. All right, sunset color. I can separate my skin from the meat from the bones to wipe the dirt off from in between. I have a lizard living inside my skull, and he'll use his eyes over mine anytime. He drinks the dark brown flavor that'll coat the tongue of both of us to say, sunshine isn't anything like this. Direct me to the light, I ask. It is the filth that covers you from within. I had brushed that off, I tell him. But no, he says, it is the filth that covers you from within. I can separate my skin from the meat, from the bones, to see a film of sun-stuck color shining on the filth in between. I have a lizard living inside my skull. He has a way with his mouth that bites the teeth of mine. Always in my spit, I can taste the heavy old lick that had slipped on the tongue of both of us. So in wait, I'll tell him. I remember the sun, when it was the only thing I ever saw on the ground in the rocks where I was taken. The lizard readjusted his jaw to better fit over mine, then contemplated. True, and the night, the light, never was brighter than on the dirt in the air that day. I was too young, I added. You're old now, he finished, and crushed me in his mouth.
Okay, what was the inspiration?
That one. I don't know if anyone else has ever been in a situation where you would repress a lot of memories until you're older, and then you realize as you look back, or you have someone tell you, or something happens, that you repressed memories of some kind of trauma or abuse. And at that point in time, you're old. You're what? You're 25, 23, and you're like, oh my God, this happened to me. And everyone looks at you and goes, well, you're old now, so what does it matter?
I see. So
that's kind of what that's about.
Yeah. You know, it's so strange to have someone 23 say they're old.
Well, at that point, someone's telling you it's irrelevant because that happened to you when you were a kid.
Well, you know, the trauma and experiences that make us are never irrelevant. And your poem's beautiful. I like that. It's very nice. Oh, so you live in Wasilla?
Yes.
Have you been around here for a long time?
Yes. My family helped make the Butte.
Make the Butte.
That's what we say. They came back, my grandmother, they made the roads. We had some farms. We made a lot of the neighborhood area. We have a lot of roads named after us out there. There's Moline Road, Fritz Road, Doris May Circle. We've been here ever since my grandma.
Long time, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I met somebody. Maybe it was you, Mike. Did you know Maud? Somebody knew Maud, who the road I live off of is named for. She was, can't remember what her last name was. I guess she didn't, because you were looking quizzically at me. But I was so surprised that there really was a Maud, that Maud Road was named after.
Mm-hmm.
That,
Isn't there a movie with Harold and Maud?
I think it's a different Maud. This is more like a Butte Maud. So everyone laughs when you say Butte. You know, you're not supposed to do that. When I first came here, I had an argument with my wife, which was, I kept saying, we live in the Butte. And she would go, no, we live in Palmer. And so we had to make a kind of a compromise. I let her say we lived in South Palmer and I lived in North Butte. But that was okay. That makes no sense, does it? Okay, Mike's giving me one of those looks again. Okay, so another poem for us, please.
Okay.
You don't get away with just one reading. We want several.
Okay, so I have another one, and it's called She. I forgot to write down the title.
Okay.
Okay, her hair was like mine, unwired, untangled, and receding with the moisture. The tightest beads of sweat were sealing fast as eyes were cut and violent towards the sun, like a slipping blackness that sulked at the pain of fire. First, she was naked in the snow, letting the ice at her bones knew. Then I saw her nude in the ocean, for it must have melted, when the fires fell on the breasts and ribs of her caving chest that had convulsed into her. Her, the open creature that swallowed the sky.
Very nice. Right to the point.
Mm-hmm. That's a short
one. Well, you keep folding that up. You've got to keep reading. You know, you're our poet tonight. And
I have a little bit of a longer one. Do you want a short one? As well, or?
Both. Sure. Do the longer one.
Okay. This one says, hello. I don't know how to greet you. I only know that I have always thought of you as something I could hold in my hands. Unnaturally, as a fistful of shuddering minnows before they die, puncture their own bones against me, and secrete the abalone glaze of their eyes into a film on the dock. Until now, I have since kept you as a fighted likeness of my mind, knowing, too, the cold of a multiplied sunset ending in frost and space between rivers, the fragrance of a sweetly decomposing salmonberry telling time for rending Chinook to end, sweeping like a wind in the parts between birches, or of its stain that I would palm and carry, thinking also of endings and beginnings in such order, when gulls eat the cartilage and fur from animals put on the silted banks of the Knick, and a place where the sun can fall deeply, and I build fires. Here, amongst the dark moonlight of our skins, as I am no longer alone, and we hear the chickadees being the trees, and the loons wanting to make night, could it be appropriate now, while twilight is flaming, to finally know your name?
Lovely. I'm going to tell you this. Your delivery is just fine. You have a beautiful voice. You can take my job. Because I have a crummy voice and a horrible delivery.
Soothing voice.
Thank you. The only thing I have to rely on is I read stories to my kids every night.
Uh-huh.
We're knocking out Narnia right now, so.
Well, it's if you were concerned about reading, don't ever be again, because you're doing great.
All right, thank you. Great.
Okay, ready for another one?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, this is Glacier. This is really simple. I didn't even know I was writing a poem when I was writing it out. So much has changed this year. I dreamt about my bones cracking, and from within, flower buds grew. I sat on top of a mountain in the sun as a giant stretched over the cliff face, growing flowers, and watched a cool blue ice take over the city. People laid down and gave up until they were all just a part of the glacier. I did nothing but continue to dream as I sat, until a sadness drove me to step up and away. But as I walked over the sunlit spots on the glacier, my skin fell like dirt, my bones to pieces, and the flowers of me covered the ice of you.
You seem to have a theme about crushed bones.
Whoops.
Never noticed. I see.
No.
Well, I have. So, okay. So what inspired you to begin writing poetry? I heard you talking about, a little bit about Josh. What's your relationship? You guys all have a relationship, and I don't know any of you. It's pretty interesting. Well, Josh a little bit, but only.
Well, Josh was my teacher. I was in high school, and I went to Twin Lee Bridge Charter. Yep. I actually can't. Well, it was kind of a hazy time because being a teenager wasn't easy.
How old were you?
I'm not even sure. 16 or 17, maybe 15. I was definitely in the class where you introduced the concept of Make a Scene to us and asked us our feedback.
Yep, that was before anything happened.
Yeah. You're not actually being heard, Josh.
Which, oh. that I remember that.
We do dead air here well. Mm-hmm. This is the best station for dead air.
That's right.
Yeah. So go back and fill us in here. So you were.
Wasn't that a sound recording class that we were in?
You had a lot of classes. I don't think I was in that one.
I had three or four different courses there.
Yeah.
So you're not teaching anymore?
No, I haven't in a long time.
Yeah. I see.
That was one of the things that I... That was a stepping stone, Twin Lee Bridge. Anna Royce was the one who reached out to me, ironically, because she heard me do a radio interview in Anchorage for the public radio station there. And she called me, cold called me, and said, hey, I really like what you were talking about. I'd like you to teach some courses at our charter school.
Well, apparently you did a good job. If Jana is an example of that.
We were just discussing it. It's been about 10 years.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. I'm really glad I was there.
Yeah, that was a good class. That was good times.
So, and you have a relationship with Emily as well.
Just through music booking and... I guess that's about it. Just her performing. I've booked her at a lot of performances.
Well, that's obviously an excellent choice.
Yeah.
Excellent choice. Speaking of that, now do you have any more poetry for us?
I know I have the one that was most recently published in Make a Scene.
Okay, well, why don't we have Emily do us another song, and then we'll have another poem, then we'll... talk some more and bore people out there in the world. And And then we'll do another song with Emily, and then we'll call it a night. So we have about 15 minutes to fill. It's beautiful music and talk.
All right. This one I wrote recently called Look Away. Look away from these visions of me. Turn away from these dreams inside your head. Find a way to make them what they should be. 'Cause what they were is just a smile from yesterday. 'Cause love is just a fairy tale, yeah. Love never ends well. And all those dreams that I had about you, and all those times that I felt so blue, and all those days that I thought I couldn't live without you, I found my way to make you stay away. Yeah, yeah, and I looked away from those visions of you, and I turned away from the dreams inside my head, and I found a way. Make them what they should be. I made a way to build a bridge instead. 'Cause love is just a fairy tale, yeah. Love never ends well. And all those dreams that I had about you, and all those times that I felt so blue, and all those days that I thought I never could live without you, found my way to make you stay away. Yeah, and I looked away from those visions of you, and I turned away from the dreams inside my head, and I found a way to make them what they should be, and I made a way to build a bridge instead. 'Cause love is just a fairy tale, yeah, yeah. Love never ends well.
Thank you. Like that one. I like the use of intervals. That's one of my favorite guitarists was John Renborn, who died recently, and he used the interval as his way of playing music. Not too much chording, but those.
That's me.
What's that?
That's me.
That's you. Okay.
Not too much chording.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I like the intervals. I think there's the interval as a musical element is more intriguing to the brain because it makes you find that other note. I mean, you presume the chord without actually hearing all three elements. It's pretty interesting to me. Sorry about that little music theory going on there in my head. Okay, so we're ready for another poem.
Okay. This one is called She is Dark, and it's in the last publishing, most recent. How dark is she? Well, she has dark eyes, and even more dark under her eyes, where the skin turns a purple into unwanting palettes of gray. We say those colors are the evening before the night, when it truly does get dark. Because we thought she was beautiful, but if you look deeply back at her, then you'll see. There are no more lights in the sky of her widening iris that aren't dead, but each a ghost. Because she is dark, she has those dark eyes, and is living in dark perceptions where the death of a star is just a waiting disillusion of a lie we're told before the night.
That was, you know, I once again, to be presumptuous, you've had a lot of trauma in your life, and you express it well, and all I can say is I hope you never have to have any more.
I was talking to Josh a little bit about it. You know, when you're young, times are difficult. When you get older, you have the opportunity to start, you know, seizing your own life and even things out more.
Excellent. So, Josh, what are we going... Oh, he doesn't have a microphone now. We'll give him a microphone. Take it away from Emily. So...
I think I broke it.
Oh, gosh. You can't
take
Josh.
This is what I do.
You can't take Josh
everywhere. I swear. Everywhere I go. Mike's moving in for the fix, but I think I've got it here.
He's just switching microphones on you, and then he'll fix it.
See what you get when you invite me in.
Well, I appreciate your being here. I guess my question, because you have this influence in the community, is how can we, and I mean we as you and I, promote more art, music, and poetry?
I think it really does. It boils down to people promoting each other. Like you said before, it's really hard to promote yourself because it comes off as self-serving. It's an awkward position to be in. But ultimately, we have to understand that the only collective part of art is in our appreciation of others' art. Everything else about art is very much about the individual. And to appreciate someone's art is to appreciate that person. So, to me, a more organic, natural art scene or music scene without any influence from money or any appeal to vanity or whatever, it's all about looking around you and saying, wow, I'm sitting next to Emily here, who's a musician. She's expressing herself in my presence. That in and of itself is pretty amazing, you know? So,
well, that is one of the theories I have with the show, of being live, and it's not just you. Emily's in front of whoever's listening, and right, whoever in the future listens to this program. And pretty much every week I say it's pretty special, especially these days, to have live, unrehearsed radio. And that's, I guess, one of the ways I'm trying to promote the arts is through this program. But I get this feeling I should be doing more. That's why I guess that's what I'm saying is, Josh, what more are you going to do to help promote the art and I view music and poetry as both art?
Well, you know, I'm going to continue to publish the paper for as long as the local business owners support it and as long as the content comes in from people, which seems to not be slowing. It's awesome.
Oh, okay, I was hoping that wasn't a dig at me for not sending any articles.
Yep. Oh, I've had many mental digs for months now. I'm really...
Okay.
I've been thinking about it, Greg. It's been on my heart.
Oh, Josh. Okay.
Well, I just want you to know, I miss it.
Well, there you go.
But no, you know, I'm going to continue to do that. I'm actually working on opening a facility where there will be a very simple sound booth, and I'm going to invite, because there is a large community of people who are not savvy to the internet. And that's one of the things that's made my publication work, is rather than competing with the internet is the engine of the publication. So rather than seeing the internet as some foe that I must capture and monetize, instead of that conflict that exists in larger print media. What I've done is say, well, you know, this is just a medium of communication, just like the telephone. Why can't I just get the information from the person? So technology is making my job easier. But at the same time, there's a lot of people out there, especially people with the most life experience, tend to have the least internet savvy. So what I'm doing is I'm going to open up a media facility where someone can come in, whether they know how to type or not, whether they know how to log on to Google or not, whether they've ever had an email account or not. And I want to get those people in front of a camera and start creating web content and use software to transcribe what they're saying into text so that I'm both creating content for my paper and at the same time creating shareable web content in the form of videos. And the cool thing about that is right now there's a lot of people who don't read print at all, even books. They don't even touch a book, you know. And then there's a lot of people who have no idea how to use the internet. So this plan with the Media Center that is just as open access as the paper is will kind of bridge both of those gaps. It'll create content, web content, for the people who don't read, and it will also make the paper accessible to people who don't get online.
Excellent. Oh, and in a similar regard, I should mention that this program is an open access program. If you know anyone who would like to come on and expose themselves to my critiques, I'd be happy to have you.
Maybe that's what you should write about for my paper.
Possibly.
That'd be a good article.
That would be. We'll see.
Invite people to expose themselves.
I've been doing that for years, and not necessarily successfully. Now I'm a married man and very happy. But anyways, I'm serious about that. If you know someone, talk to them, mention to them that we'd like to have them on, like to talk to them, like to find out about them, like to let our neighbors out there in Sutton know about them, and our neighbors in Palmer. And as you know, we're an international show now. We have people even in Nepal who listen to us on Radio Free Palmer.
Nepalmer.
Excuse me?
I'm from New York.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, and the show is podcast, so if you miss it, well, you wouldn't know that you missed it because I told you that you missed it unless there was a psychic connection. But if you miss it, you can pick it up on the podcast. It's on the RadioFreePalmer.org site. And thanks to our wonderful engineer, Mike Molesky, who keeps this place running. So I think it's about time to say goodnight. Emily, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Josh, thank you.
My pleasure.
And hopefully we'll see all of you again. And Shanna, thank you. It's a lovely poetry.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, good night from downtown Palmer.